Okay, it's our final batch of local news, and it's Tim and Liz. It's batch number 8. We've got 4 stories coming up for you. Then we're going to have the answers to Liz's one and only quiz. So my stories coming up are Boy 11 battered in terrifying town centre attack as hero passes by intervene, and 19 rough sleepers bed down on the streets of Hanley. And Liz has coming up...
League of Shame. 41 fans arrested as Stoke City ranks 13th worst for trouble. And family lose everything after lightning strike sparks house inferno.
Okay, so we're going to have the answers now to Liz's one and only quiz, a general knowledge quiz. 11 answers for you now.
Number 1, what is the holiest city of the Islamic world? It is Mecca. Number 2, what is the technical name for abnormally high blood pressure? That is hypertension. Number 3, what English quarter day falls on the 29th of September? And that is Michaelmas. That's why you get Michaelmas daisies in September, I think. Number 4, in which English county is the town of High Wycombe? High Wycombe is in Buckinghamshire. And I think it's where they make chairs. And I think that was on Gavin and Stacey once. It made me laugh. Number 5, local question here. What was the surname of the French brothers who founded a tyre company in 1888? They were the Michelin brothers. Number 6, which daughter of Herodias, Herodinus, I still can't say it, called for the head of John the Baptist? Who called for the head of John the Baptist? Salome. Who became Emperor of Japan in 1926? That's Hirohito. Who wrote the play Pygmalion? That's George Bernard Shaw. And it was turned into the musical. What was the name of the musical, Tim?
Ask the question again. I wasn't listening.
Owning up to not listening. What was the play Pygmalion turned into?
My Fair Lady.
Oh, well done, well done. Number 9, which English public school is depicted in Tom Brown's School Days? That's a Rugby School. Number 10, who directed the film?
Oh, I know this one.
Young Frankenstein.
I know this one. It was Mel Brooks.
Correct, Mel Brooks, or Brooks, as Tim says, being as he comes from Stoke, and I don't, so I say Brooks.
Brooks.
Right, I'm going to ask you the next question, bonus. A rare version of what Victorian postage stamp became the UK's second most valuable stamp after being sold for £495,000 earlier this year?
I don't know. Is it black something?
Black something. Bet lots of people said penny black. No.
Which one is it?
It was the penny red.
Okay. I do remember the penny black.
How do you remember that? You weren't born when that came out.
I remember doing it at school.
Oh, good grief.
Right, okay, so I've got the first story for you now, which is Boy 11 battered in terrifying town centre attack as hero passes by intervene. An 11-year-old boy walking to school has been knocked to the ground and repeatedly punched in the face by a singing man in a terrifying town centre attack. The youngster was walking to the breakfast club at Co-op Academy Stoke-on-Trent in Tunstall with his 14-year-old sister when he was attacked in Burslem. The incident has left the boy too scared to leave his home. Mum, Sarah Murray, age 41, said, "They said there was a man singing to himself and mumbling, and they crossed the road and he has approached them and said, 'Are you the kids from yesterday?' They looked at him and walked off because they didn't know who he was. As they were walking off, he has gone and kicked my son full in the back from behind, pinned him to the ground and started choke-holding him and punching him. He has tissue damage and bruising, but mentally it has knocked him and he won't go out." Stoke-on-Trent Live has been told 4 men managed to pull the attacker off the boy before he fled. The terrified siblings were given refuge in a passing car until police arrived, but the family are furious that the attacker has reportedly been allowed home on bail. Stepdad Simon Barlow, 42, said this gentleman is still walking around Burslem and our children still have to go to school and back. There's nothing stopping him from attacking children again or somebody else. Everybody in the community is dismayed how little the police have done. Staffordshire Police are appealing for witnesses following the attack. It happened near Wright's Pies just before 8 a.m. on Tuesday, September the 17th. A police spokesperson said, "We arrested a 37-year-old man from Stoke-on-Trent on suspicion of assault, occasionally causing actual bodily harm. He has been released on bail while inquiries continue. Witnesses should call the police on 101, quoting incident number 111 of 17th of September, or call Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111. Over to Liz now for the next story in batch number 8.
League of Shame. 41 fans arrested as Stoke City ranks 13th worst for trouble. Now, this isn't the Championship League. This is the whole four leagues, I presume. I don't even know if it counts the National League, whatever. Anyway, Stoke City finished 13th in the Football Arrest League for England and Wales last season. A total of 41 fans were detained for football-related offences in 2023-24, according to the latest figures from the Home Office. They finished behind Championship rivals West Bromwich Albion and Millwall in the League of Shame. Meanwhile, West Ham United topped the table with 103 arrests. Half of those arrests, 52, were for public disorder, while 24 were for possession of a Class A drug. Rivals Manchester City and Manchester United were joint second in the arrest table. Fans of both clubs were arrested 88 times last season. Both clubs also had 20 arrests for possession of Class A drugs. The number of football-related arrests increased by 14% last year, going from 2,264 in 2022-23 to 2,584 in 2022-24. Only 9 of last season's arrests were for racist chanting, though, down from 23 the season before and a peak of 44 in 2010-11. The number of people arrested for possessing Class A drugs in or outside of the stadium rose from 200 in 2022-23 to 344 last season. Those are the only 2 years that crime has been recorded. West Ham also topped the lists of clubs for new banning orders issued against fans, with 49 in total. That's compared to 30 for Everton supporters, 26 for Man City fans and 25 for Man United fans. While the number of arrests is on the rise, the Home Office figures show that there are still relatively few when compared to attendances. The number of arrests works out at 5.5 for every 100,000 people attending a football match last season. PC Ben Greensides, dedicated football officer for Stoke City, said, "Positive work is being done by Stoke City, Staffordshire Police and the courts to stamp out this unacceptable behaviour, and we will continue to take action against those who use football stadiums as a venue to commit crimes." Now, the top 20 most football-related arrests in 2023-24, I won't go through them because this will get tedious unless people are interested. As I've already read, West Ham were top. Man City, Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea, Newcastle, Spurs, West Bromwich Albion, Millwall. I am now doing it, aren't I? Liverpool, Everton, 12th, Birmingham City. They're my team's big rivals. They had 44. And then Stoke are 13th on 41. And then the top clubs with new banning orders issued. I'm very pleased to say Stoke don't feature in that at all. Aston Villa do not feature in either list, by the way. Look at me now raving about my team. And Birmingham City, my big rivals, they were 10th on the top 20 clubs with banning orders. I know Port Vale had a prominent banning order last year, but they're not in there at all either. So well done, Crewe and Vale, for not appearing. And Stoke, let's see if you can get above 13th. Not in that league, but in the league, in the Championship. And over to Tim.
Wonderful, thank you for that. So my final story now in batch 8 is 19 rough sleepers bed down on the streets of Hanley. 19 rough sleepers were found bedding down on the streets of Hanley in a new drive to tackle issues in the city centre. Of that, number 6 accepted offers of help to find them homes, and another 9 actually agreed to be supported in their addiction battles. It comes as shoppers have complained about feeling unsafe in Hanley. Staffordshire Police, the Business Improvement District, Stoke-on-Trent City Council and Parking and Community Wardens held the day of action earlier this month, which also saw 2 wanted men arrested, a high-risk missing child located, recorded a number of antisocial behaviour reports, visited fly-tipping hotspots and cleaned up, identified 19 rough sleepers and engaged 6 of them, signing them up for further support. There were also 2 men detained for shoplifting in the Sales Lab store and 2 women in Primark who were stopped with around £70 worth of stock and issued 41 penalty charge notices for parking breaches. Stoke-on-Trent Superintendent David Wayne said this was a highly effective day of action that not only enabled numerous members of the public to approach us at the mobile police station to raise concerns, but also meant we were able to work with partners on the ground to support them in their proactive work. Officers were able to search the Pottery Centre and the bus station for a missing 12-year-old girl who we later found in Tesco safe and well. We visited Trumpet Passage and cleared out rubbish and waste with the fly tipping team and identified other areas for work to be carried out, including locations off Gittner Street, Brusnick Street and Market Passage. The details of 19 rough sleepers were passed on to us and 6 others were offered support, with 9 others being offered support for addiction. We also patrolled with partners to speak to local businesses to discuss any issues with them. Overall, it was a positive day and I look forward to carrying out similar activity in the near future. Councillor Alistair Watson, Cabinet Member for Financial Sustainability and Corporate Resources, advised, "We know focused partnership action has a real impact in hotspot areas for antisocial behaviour. We want members of the public to report issues of concern. We can then ensure that we have the appropriate agencies primed and ready to tackle those issues. The overall involvement from multiple agencies has been superb and continues to highlight the positive impact collaborative working can have on the community. Anyone with any concerns about rough sleepers can call the outreach team on free phone number 0800 970 2304. Over to Liz now for the last story in batch number 8.
Family lose everything after lightning strike sparks house inferno. A Staffordshire family has described how they lost everything in a devastating fire after their house was struck by lightning. Steve Force and his partner Rachel Partridge had been at home on Saturday night when their property was rocked by a massive bang. Now, I've just discussed this with we think this was the 21st, Saturday the 21st, because we're not really sure, but it wasn't last Saturday, but I know the week before there was a lot of lightning. So I think this is September the 21st, but I'm not sure. So that's what we think. Steve, 42, said the impact of the lightning strike shook the whole house before a neighbour knocked on the door to tell them that their roof was on fire. Firefighters rushed to the scene on Kitchen Lane in Essington in the south of the county as the flames spread to 3 other properties at around 9 p.m. The strike came just a few hours after a home in Longton's Banbury Street was hit by lightning. Crews worked until 1:30 a.m. the following morning to extinguish the blaze, which destroyed Steve and Rachel's roof and badly damaged bedrooms. The family say they have been left without anything and will now likely be unable to spend Christmas in their own home. On the night of the fire, Steve and Rachel were at home with their pet pooch Skye and 10-year-old daughter Amelia, who was tracking the lightning strikes. Steve, a car dealer, said, "I have never heard anything so loud in my life. The electrics went out, my daughter started screaming and the dog was going crazy. Then we heard a knock on the door. The guy who lives opposite us said, 'There is a little fire on your roof. So we went outside and looked, and we thought, it's not too bad. Rachel started calling the fire brigade, so I went upstairs, opened the attic hatch, and there was thick black smoke. I closed the hatch, got my daughter and the dog, and put them in the car. At this point, it had gone from a tiny little fire to most of the roof. There was black smoke everywhere. While waiting for the arrival of the fire crews, Steve and Rachel began alerting their neighbours to the blaze and urged them to evacuate. A spokesman for Staffordshire Fire and Rescue Service said crews were called at about 9:10 p.m. and cut off the gas and electricity supply in the area while they extinguished the blaze. Steve said his partner was left in tears after she discovered family keepsakes had been destroyed in the fire. He added, "My attic is completely gone. Everything we had up there was family heirlooms, keepsakes, passports. Rachel was in tears when she found that. It is mainly water damage in the rest of the house. My daughter's bedroom ceiling has completely caved in. Nothing electric works. On Sunday, we ripped everything out of the house and it was all ruined. It is things you can never replace. Pictures of my mom, who died 20 years ago. Photos of the kids when we were young. When you think about what you lost, it is horrible, but at least we are all still alive. We literally don't have anything, even clothes-wise. Luckily, our clothes were downstairs in the utility room being washed, so we still have clothes to wear. The family are staying with Steve's sister-in-law in Telford, Shropshire, for now, and have been told they will likely be unable to get back in their home until after Christmas. More than £5,000 has since been raised through a GoFundMe page to help replace what the family lost in the blaze. Steve said he was left in shock at seeing the community come together to support them. The dad of three added, "I didn't think it would get near that. I didn't know until Sunday evening that someone had even set up a page. The love from people is unreal. Even simple things. So many people have messaged me saying, 'I hope you are okay. The money will help us replace as much as we can. We have worked so hard for everything we have.'" So that's the last story from me. And as I said, I think that must have been September the 21st. There wasn't any lightning this Saturday, I know. So that's an awful story for that family. And that's the last story from me.